Thanks for listening to The Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Well, in the second half, we talked to Grammy-nominated Deadmau5, very interesting producer and electronic music guy. You know, I don't normally like that, but I like Deadmau5 because he's a car guy. Talked to him about his life. We got the news as well. First, there's Jordan Harbinger. The Jordan Harbinger Show, a different kind of sponsor for this episode, the Jordan Harbinger Show. Well, if you're a fan of fascinating podcasts and interesting people, you should definitely check this one out. There's an episode for everyone, no matter what you're into. Jordan talks with Scott Adams about persuasion in a world where facts don't matter anymore. Man, is he right. Or you go inside the dark world of wildlife trafficking. You'll always find something useful to apply to your own life, like routine changes to boost productivity or slight mindset tweaks to change how you see the world. Jordan's a good guy. We've had him on many times. I know the man well, and he's worth a listen. We enjoy the show, and we know you will too. So you can search The Jordan Harbinger Show. That is H-A-R-B as in boy, I-N as in Nancy, G-E-R, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Deadmau5 is with us. You can shoot him a tweet at deadmau5.com. Quick correction, the Ella Fitzgerald thing could have been real, or was real, as long as it was amplified that heavily. So a correction there. We'll give the woman her due. Deadmau5 is here. Played, God, what was your biggest... I've seen some of the footage of your shows, but like, what's the biggest crowd you played to?
The biggest crowd was like probably Rock in Rio.
How many people were in the crowd?
I think it was 120,000 people.
Damn.
It was nuts.
Christ.
You could feel the ground moving like on the stage, and I thought it was just like our shit or something like that, some weird thing happening on the stage, but it was actually, they were like, yeah, because I don't know, for whatever reason, the festival grounds that they were on was kind of like just soft soil or whatever, and then when everybody's like, you can actually feel it. It feels like a train. Like right beside you. It's really, really cool. That was nuts. But I think it stops after, let's say, 60,000. You can't tell the difference between that because you just...
Adam, is that true?
I feel that way with blowjobs.
I think so. Unless you know exactly what the ticket count was. But I think that's the
well, it's like best. It's like you can only see, I don't know, 20... 7 miles or something. There's a horizon, and then
well,
the
they weren't
earth,
lined up. Like
the earth starts to curve, and you don't know what's beyond the horizon. So, how does first off? I know how you got the Deadmau5 moniker, but how did you get the Deadmau5 moniker?
It's like as explained. Fuck, man, it's so Googleable. But you know, I found a Deadmau5 in a computer. And yeah. I was like very prevalent on these like chat rooms, an early pre-internet stuff. And my alias in some circles was that Deadmau5 guy because of the mouse situation that I found in a computer. So instead of like me trying to come up with some cool hacker name, everyone else just deferred to, oh, this is the Deadmau5 guy. I was like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to own it at this point. So...
Well, and in a weird way, you can't give yourself a name. Other people have to give you the name.
Yeah, that's right.
To yeah, some degree.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's a little ostentatious. You know, when you pick your own name and then you're like, I'm this, you know? That's kind of weird.
when I played high school baseball, I tried to give myself the name Clutch Corolla. Mm-hmm. But when after you strike out for the third time and you're walking back to the dugout,
it's more of an ironic moniker.
Put the ball in play next time, Clutch.
Nice swing, Clutch. The
guys in scoring
Open
position.
Open your eyes next time.
Yeah, it doesn't take. That's for others. So you grow up, your dad's working at a GM factory.
How do you know that?
I read.
You did your research. Wow.
But you have a kind of a combination because your mom's in the arts and your dad's kind of in the trades, right?
I love it when they do basic research. That's so good. Yeah, it was cool. Like, my dad worked at GM. My mom was the stay-at-home mom and, you know, did mom things for three of us. And that was that. And I mean, while, you know, I was like kind of trying to get through high school, taking shit apart and all that stuff and learning all this tech that was like coming out that a lot of like studios didn't necessarily know about because they're all still using Ampex and reel to reels and tapes and stuff like that. So I was just like, you know, at the right time frame to be picking up, you know, digital recording and stuff like that. So then I had that edge when I could go into a studio and say, hey, you know, you can do all this stuff that you're doing with these tapes on a computer, right? And they're like, oh, what? Hmm. You know, and then
was it a slow build or was there a breakthrough where you really quantifiably jumped ahead in your career?
No, it was super slow. And I'm super grateful for that too, because I just see so many shit shows that like occur from like, you know, Hobby Lobby to main room at Ministry of Sound or headlining EDC the next day. It's kind of weird how that happens. But it was a slow grind. And honestly, I had no aspirations of being on a stage or anything like that. I still wanted to work in the field and be, you know, in the rear with the gear. I wanted to be that guy, a little studio engineer dude, you know, helping other people like, you know, transcribe their craft to digital realms and stuff like that. And then I thought that, well, there's going to be such a demand for that and you can't get canceled for that. So I'm just going to do that. You know,
did you like, I always wanted to do radio, but not TV, but at some point it just got kind of pushed into it a little bit, but I like doing radio. I like sort of being behind the scenes, so to speak. Was that something that you, were you, it wasn't because I was shy or had issues. I just wasn't attracted to it and would put makeup on.
I don't like flying around. You know, yeah. I say that, you know, the shows I do for free, but you got to pay me some serious money to get on a plane.
Well, how much money can you make?
It depends.
I mean, some of these guys.
Of course,
are going
you could say
nuts,
this
right?
and that and the other thing, but it's so sliding scale. Like, I mean, you know, it's like, you know, the corporate gigs, the private parties, and stuff like that for large corporations where they just want to chuck money around. Of course, you can go crazy with that, or you know, that crazy dude out in Saudi Arabia that just wants to have you for a dinner party, that kind of thing. That can go one way, and then you know, and then just something because you want to do it. You know, like Belly Up, for example, in Aspen. It's a legendary venue. It's like it's the tiniest bar, 200 capacity, but it's just such a good time that I love to do it. You know what I mean? It's not like I go in and, you know, start puffing my chest and demanding like these ridiculous fees, or even my local spots in Toronto, you know, I'll go and do for next to free just because I enjoy that atmosphere and those people and those promoters and those kind of hangouts and stuff like that. So it's all very sliding scale. Of course, I mean, I run a business too, so I've got bills to offset and stuff like that. So cue the agency and let them kind of delegate where I need to be and when and for how much to make it make sense.
How is your GM factory worker dad with all this?
Oh, he's great. Initially. He calls me every time he needs tickets. Yeah, perfect.
What percentage of people in the concert are rolling on something or something or another?
I want to say it's calmed down in the last 5 years.
It has.
I think so. I think it's just become less of a overpaid babysitter and purveyor and creating an environment where it's socially acceptable to do that kind of shit, because just people just don't do it in their homes, really, or you know, out in the public parks or where, I don't know. Where one goes to part, like, because where else would you do E? You know,
yeah.
Other than if we took away an event, if we took away electronic music events or something like that, where the fuck do you do that shit? Do you go in a basement, like at your friend's house, and
amusement parks or theme parks would be probably the best place.
Okay. Well, let's take away those two.
No, I'm saying, well,
yeah, you're right.
Default.
There's always been, I don't know, two schools of thought, which is like people go like, let's take mushrooms and go to Disneyland.
Right.
And I'd be like, no, let's take mushrooms and bring Disneyland to us. Like, I felt like that's what mushrooms
sounds
were.
Sounds like some mushroom shit, right. Man.
I could get high on mushrooms and stare at an aquarium, and that was like an amusement park. I didn't feel the need to supplement it, but that was like Papa Mentos before you give me a blowjob. It's like, yeah, we're getting a blowjob. That's enough. And we'll have the Mentos for the ride home.
Right. Well, that's no. I mean, I've never partaken, believe it or not.
Really?
Like, in crazy shit. You know, okay. I've smoked a joint or two, like in my 20s or something like that. But that's like the height of it. And I kind of have this FOMO.
FOMO?
Yeah. The fear of missing out.
Oh, it's an acronym.
I learned that one this year, too.
Oh, good.
I figured, I was like, I don't know.
You should know that.
Yeah. FOMO. But I had this fear of missing out in terms of like, you know.
Well, I'm YOLO, but go ahead, FOMO.
Yeah. But when I think about, okay, let's do some mental exercise here and say like, okay, I'm going to do it. Now I have to figure out, where am I going to do this? You know, am I going to do it at a concert or an amusement park, or am I going to do it like by myself in a bedroom, or should I just go like straight to the hospital and do it like in the waiting room? Just in case.
Plus, you're a pretty recognizable guy.
You know what? You know what the best place to do it would be? It's a casino.
Yeah.
Because all eyes are on you. And if you hit the ground, I think, you know what? Yeah. When I'm in my 80s, that's where I'm going to be.
Some fear and loathing shit.
No. Just because you got cameras. Like, if anything happens to you, you know, you're good.
Yeah, they got paddles nearby.
He may, depending on who's listening, he's not that recognizable. And I feel like
point.
He did that on purpose as well.
Yeah, it could be either or.
Yeah, do you have a giant, speaking of theme parks, do you have a giant head on? Do you not have a giant head on?
Yeah, right. No, I think I leave it at home.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, we should get Stephanie the Fart Girl to hook up some conduit to the mouse head.
Oh, my God.
You
could really roll.
I was just listening to that. So, I can't believe I got a Fart Girl to open up.
She's
a tough opener, that one. She's like, how do I do better than this?
Oh, there's no doing better, but you can
now
tie
I'm wondering
her.
How much my farts go for, like 25 grand?
It's one way to find out, man.
Yeah, right.
Now, there's a lot of – where? How do you look at a Paris Hilton type? And what do you think about
okay, you know what?
Folks who get into
you
that?
You would have gotten two very different answers from me about 10 years ago and now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, give me the 10-year-old answer.
Oh, fuck
that.
Posey's coming into our scene and she's ruining it for everyone.
No, I just don't give a shit, man. If it makes her happy and it brings joy to her tiny black heart, do it. You know, it's great. Like, good for you. I used to be so competitive with everything, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, and I think that just comes with anything that you kind of like invest like 5 years into. And then after maybe like 15, 20 years, you just kind of like, you accept that everybody loves this stuff or lots of people enjoy it. And there's people that like would love to be, you know, kind of what you're doing and that kind of thing. And you just embrace it at that point. So it's like, so now it's great. You know, it's just good. It's good. It's good for the economy, even though the world is such a piece of shit place that like it would take someone like Paris Hilton to come in and fill a room and, you know, draw eyes on this shit. You know what I mean? And then another person that kind of just at least broadens the window for them to get in and do that thing. So be it. Yeah. You know, so I have no love lost on any of these, you know, people or celebrities getting into electronic music. Like, have at it.
I got some car questions, but go ahead.
Good. Oh, me too, actually.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Follow-up question about that. I'm not asking you to shit on any one person or any people,
sure.
But what, for those of us who may not know, what separates a great DJ from either an average, ordinary, run-of-the-mill, or bad?
That's weird. That's a loaded question because it's like a DJ, right? If we break it down, it's like, you know, a disc jockey, right? Someone who just like, you know, performs music. And then there was a period in history where a DJ could be booked as kind of like a headliner thing,
sure.
Which was weird because
billboards
also
in Vegas,
right. Where so now you've got this guy or girl comes up on stage and just plays other people's shit, you know, at the same speed. And I think Bill Burr did a great bit on that. on like what a DJ does kind of thing, you know, or it's like driving your car on the highway and then someone's keeping up with you and he's like all mystified. How are they doing that? You know?
Right.
Yeah. So it's like that thing. And that was a really good bit. It's like that, right? So now DJs in the last like 10 years aren't just that. They always have to have some kind of production hit themselves or some kind of music catalog of themselves too. So now you're asking who's the more proficient producer.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Sure, as opposed to who can play music, a song and another song at the same speed at the same time and then just keep a party flowing. And then you're going to bring in elements like, ooh, they really read the crowd and played what they wanted to play. And then if you're going to quantify it like that, then it's like, then now we're going to go back into Wolfman Jack fucking era.
You know that's I mean? All. Yeah, okay. That's interesting. Adam's playing it pretty cool because he's a big EDM fan. He's never said a bad word about EDM DJs.
I know why.
But I'm like, I grew up listening to Chicago and Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
I grew
and
up
stuff
listening
like
to Steely Dan, Tears for Fears.
Wow. Yeah. I love Steely Dan. Ooh, Dave Brubeck. Yeah. Take five, man.
Yeah.
So Cars.
Yeah, I seen that. I had to Google it
a little bit. I have a bunch of other cars in a bunch of other places, but I'm looking here on my screen, and you recently had a McLaren P1 that you sold. McLaren is, I would say, the supercar equivalent to your musical world is sort of a McLaren. It's a lot of technology.
Yeah.
Versus, it's not an old trombone.
Yeah.
But also reading here that Ferrari once sued you because you wrapped your 458.
Well, they didn't sue me. I'm not worth the paper Ferrari could put their letterhead on. But they made some noise about me wrapping up. Oh, no, not, it wasn't the wrap, right? Because obviously we've seen some god-awful shit done to Ferraris, right?
Yeah, wrapping is when instead of painting it matte you purple, some, you
cover
put
it
shrink
up
wrap
so you can
it.
Sell
yeah.
it later and not mm-hmm. lose your pride right. or whatever. But what they really kicked up dirt about is the horse badges. I took them off and I put like a prancing cat. And then I had, you can't see it in the photos, but I also,
I can picture.
And I changed the letters too. I had them custom milled to say Ferrari instead of Ferrari. And their argument was, is that I would be like, I'm like
a kinda, copyright infringement or something.
Sort of like that, but like with the intent that like I'm going to sell like, it oh, like yeah, that and it's own. Not a Ferrari. I'm like, I don't think I would really have parted with it. But the funny thing was about all that, after all that, they kicked some dust up and stuff like that. Yeah, there's
Ferrari.
The cat badge.
That's pretty,
yeah,
that's see, pretty
nice.
Sweet.
I thought it was funny. And they did not. But Lamborghini thought it was funny. So we canned that Ferrari and then we did it to a Hurricane and we called it the Purrican. And we did the exact same thing to that, and then it was just kind of like
excellent.
The Huracan, end of the job. Which starts with an H, but I think they called it a Huracan. Maybe it's a Huracan.
The anyway, Huracan.
That's the equivalent to the 458, but made by Lamborghini.
Four-wheel drive.
Oh, yeah. It's all-wheel drive. Yeah. Maybe more car, but in the same sort of – that's it's a the Whopper versus the Big Mac. Like, that's their version of – that's their thing. So, you know, because I did a documentary on it, the prancing horse came from the side of a fighter plane from World War I.
Really?
There was like the Duke of whoever had the prancing horse, like his family's
it's
crest,
a sigil or-
on the side of his canvas covered bi-wing or tri-wing plane, and the family came to Ferrari after, and the guy died in World War I, and you know said, "You may use this horse that is our family crest,
but you can't turn it into a cat."
Was in the fine print.
It was definitely down there.
Yeah, and then Lamborghini's only around because he. Ferrari was dismissive of him and threw him out of his office. And Lamborghini said, "I'm going to make my own car." So it makes sense that Lamborghini is still kind of on that, which is if Ferrari doesn't want you, we'll take you.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Now, the question with the Lambo and with the Ferrari, on one hand, you can hurt a car's value by removing its badges and putting a cat on the side of it. On the other hand, if it's the right person doing it, you can enhance the value of the car.
You know what? I really, really tried to sell the Ferrari on like Auto Trader. You know, like just, I just like, you know, that thing is like when you get something like gaudy from someone and you just have so much bitter resentment to them, you're like, okay, I'm selling this and it's, I'm selling it for cheap. You know, so I put it up on Auto Trader and honestly, really no one bid on it. And I thought like, for sure, like it, we won the gumball in that car.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. And it was, yeah.
What?
Yeah, we won.
Why wasn't this on my goddamn sheet?
Yeah, right?
You did New York to L.A.?
No, that was the Miami to Ibiza one.
Oh, yeah. That one.
Yeah. We smoked. Wait, it. We won the spirit of the, me and Tori Bellici won the spirit of the gumball award in the Ferrari. This was before Ferrari shut us down, right?
Right.
So it already had all this like intrinsic value attached to the car. You know what I mean? Like it's got some C-list celebrity ownership on a good day and it won the gumball. I think I lost money on it.
I can tell you this with the car dudes. Not so much into the electronic DJ dance scene, that group. And so it's weird if there's certain names that move their needle, like Steve McQueen.
Yeah, McQueen, 100%.
They definitely go for that. But folks like yourself, out of their demo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what was that gumball rally like?
It was a rock show on wheels. It was so fun, man.
I've seen a doc on it, I think.
Yeah?
I've definitely seen footage of it. Like
they've been doing it for a while. I think
right. How does it starts in Miami?
It every year they switch the route. Mm-hmm. But that particular one, it started out in Miami, and then we drove up to New York, put them on a freight plane thing. And
barge.
Then, no, it was a plane. They put it on a plane. They flew him to Scotland, and then we took a separate like charter to Scotland, met up with the cars, and then drove all the way from Scotland down through France and to Spain, and it was exhausting.
Was it how many days did it transpire?
I think it was like 5 or 6, which isn't a lot.
Damn!
Wow, that's fast.
Kilometers.
Yeah. Were you hauling ass the whole time?
Yeah.
What was it like driving in Europe? Because they have a lot of speed cameras.
Yeah.
Man,
I got dinged so bad so many times. Like a lot of the times they kind of like let it go depending where you were. But I was actually arrested in France. Like they took me to jail. But the funny part was I was pulled over by a motorcycle cop. And I'm like, well, what are you going to do? Put me in the back of the fucking bike? You know, and he's like, you know, you must follow me. And I was like, how does he know I'm not just going to like ramp?
How fast are we going?
I think I don't remember exactly, but it was probably like 80 over. Something like kilometers,
right?
Enough for them to say, "Yo, you're going to jail." So, right. And then I went, and I didn't. It was really weird. I lost my wallet at some Waffle House or something, and in the States. But I was just like, I didn't have my passport. I didn't have ID or nothing. They just pull over this Canadian kid with a Canadian plated car. Going speeding in this little tiny town near Nice. It was near Nice. And they were like, okay, well, let's the first step. Who are you? What are I'm like, I don't have any.
Were you wearing the mouse head?
No. No. I had a glove compartment with some euros in it, and that's about it. I'm like, can we start it here? You know, he's like, no, you just come to jail. And then they got my parents' names and stuff like that. And I said, oh, you're not going to call my dad, are you? And they were just like, they were not having that joke. So they locked me up in a holding cell where I was like, can you smoke in here? And they're like, no, you have to go outside. So they like opened the door and like just let me go outside. But he's like, I got your keys, so you're not going anywhere. And I was like, fair enough. But we had to wait there for about 4 or 5 hours because we had the Sprinter van for like a support car, and they got lost trying to find us. And they ended up going to like 3 different jail-y things or police stations trying to find me, and they couldn't find me. And my phone died, and it was just – I was like, okay, well, I guess this is my life now.
And how much it cost to get you out?
Like 200 euro or something. I think they just wanted to –
jam you up.
They needed the company or something. Yeah.
They must have known the gumball was coming through town, right?
I think so. They're probably just doing that whole, I got one of you things. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Were they
this year?
Yeah, sorry.
This year they're going in May from Toronto to Havana.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So a crazy experience, but probably one you don't need to relive, or you want to
No, I want to. I want to do that one 100% because Havana is crazy. Like with their car culture, you know about this.
I've seen Fast and Furious 8 like five times.
Oh, is it in? Did they integrate that into that?
Fuck now? Yes,
oh,
they did.
Of course they did. So, their whole thing is they got all these old cars because the embargoes and all that stuff too. So they take great care of all these cars, and they've never had, you know, hypercars or supercars or luxury cars really so much on there.
I mean, like literally cars stopped for them in 1959.
Yeah.
And they don't have anything
and
else.
And so, like, you know, they probably got more auto mechanics than
gardeners.
Than not.
Right.
You know.
It was well chronicled in Fast 8. I think it was Fast 8. Max
Sounds about right.
You can look it up.
Is that the longest running, like, thing?
There's 25 thing. James Bonds.
It's called a franchise.
Oh, okay, never mind.
For example.
All right, got him.
So you're going to go.
Hey, there it is. There's me.
In Nice or outside of Nice?
That was us getting like,
what are you,
going to the clink.
What are you
going
to drive to Havana?
I think it's July or August. I don't know.
What car are you looking at?
I'm sending my 720 into fellow in Orange County. No. See, that's the other thing, too.
Is it a McLaren, a 720?
Yeah.
Oh, so it's a McLaren.
Yeah. A 720S. But I tend to avoid the warranty on all my vehicles because I go a little stupid with the ECU retiming and exhaust kits. And no, I upgrade them. We get up to 1,100 horsepower on that.
Really?
Yeah, it's a fucking rocket.
Jesus, goddamn Christ! 1,100 horsepower is a lot.
Yeah, it's actually. I think I had a Senna for a couple of years too, and that thing was great.
Oh,
but
I think
that 720 will smoke it. A Senna.
Crazy. I just saw one over the weekend parked in Malibu. But the Senna.
It's awesome. I loved it.
You had a Senna.
Yeah, I had number 232. I think.
That has to be, in a world of sort of impractical rides, the McLaren Senna has to be at the top of the just least practical.
It's part of the Holy Trinity. It's the extra with the Holy Trinity. Remember the 918 Spider, the P1, and
Porsche.
Then the LaFerrari.
Yeah.
That was the Holy Trinity, right? And then McLaren was already working on their Senna.
The Senna just has huge scoops and tails and downforce, and it's beautiful. It's a piece of rolling art. And technology, it's absolutely nuts. I mean, what's really happened in that world is the carbon fiber world. Mm. I talked to the guys from McLaren years ago, and they were like, when we made our early models, like in the early 90s, mid-90s, one carbon fiber tub, or the monocoque, as they call it, it would cost, you know, $100,000, and it would take five guys 2 weeks to make it. And now, because of the technology, they can do it much cheaper and much easier and much whatever. Find me that Senna, Max Zapata.
Yeah, we're working on it.
All right. We'll get a good picture of that.
What
car
did Hulk Hogan's kid kill his friend in?
Supra.
Okay.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Ask for my daughter's middle name. What's her name?
What's her middle name?
She knows what it is.
Supra.
Back off. Yeah. Yeah, it is just it's beautiful.
I had mine MSO.
It's crazy. You sold it?
No, I had mine MSO.
What's MSO?
McLaren Special Operations, where they did the custom little bits and stuff.
Wow.
Like that. Yeah, it was really
don't
great.
You dare
did
put
it have
a
Hello Kitty on it?
Fucking cat
No.
Thing.
It was really nice. If you probably Google like Dead Mouse Senna, you can probably see it. It had some really great green accents and stuff. It was really fun.
Yeah. So after Ayrton Senna.
But that was the only car that I actually. So the first time I've ever really driven a car was this fellow who worked at Excess, Jesse Waits, was staying at the SLS down here. Mm-hmm. And I was here. I had just, like, probably the day before, walked out of Cole Street with my little thing, the provisional or your first license or whatever. It's very different
the
in
permit.
Canada. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In Canada, you have to do, like, a year of, like, practice or whatever.
You get a lot of
graduated licensing. Yeah, it's really fucked up. So I get my license, and I get a car. But I don't really get it 100%. So Jesse's like, so you got your license. So he's like, you should go pick up my car and you can drive it. And I was like, all right. And then I go to the SLS, and then, you know, they bring his car around. It was a 458 Spider. And I was like, oh, fuck.
So your first car you drove is a Ferrari.
Yeah, and then I'm like, oh shit, you know, like, and I didn't want to ask the valet, like, you know, dumb shit. Like, I know how to get in gear and go and stuff like that, but it was just like, you know, the windows and all that stuff. And I was like, you know what, fuck it. And I started driving it, and I was like, so like white knuckle, doing 20 miles an hour up La Cienega. You know, I was like, oh shit, man.
I would suggest for the Gumball Rally, something sporty, but a little more in the SUV department, because just flat on the ground, feeling every speed bump and pothole. I mean, those cars are so low and so stiff. The seats are
New York was not kind.
Mm, yeah.
I bottomed mine out so many times on dumb shit. It's just like that little piece of car or rubber that they put underneath just saved my ass so many times.
Yeah, get something with a little suspension travel.
Yeah, like actually, a lot of people do that. They'll take, like, I saw Exhibit spent more time in an Escalade than he did in anything fun.
Fucking Exhibit.
Yeah, yeah, I know. He's just in the back with his Xbox playing on the screen while he's just getting driven. No, it was cool. He was a nice guy.
Who? Any
there's
other?
Exhibit. There's Hasselhoff.
Yeah, Hasselhoff. Yeah, yeah.
The Hoff did it.
Yeah, he fucked me over too at an auction too. I couldn't believe it.
How'd he do that?
I wanted to hustle him on his, so during the Gumball, what we do is like a lot of, there's like Tony Hawk and Hasselhoff and this guy and this guy, and everyone will kind of bring something, and then they'll have like a big Christie's auction. Mm-hmm. So we're at this like Christie's auction thing where it's like, you know, I bring a mouse head and then it all goes to the Gumball Foundation for charity, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So it's all just kind of like a fun little event that they do. So I bring a mouse head. Like Tony Hawk brought a bunch of skate decks and signs and stuff like that. And then David brought the jacket from Baywatch with the don't give up on your dreams, you can do it kind of shit on it, right? And I was like, fuck yeah. Like, I'm like, I'm totally going to bid on that, right? Because who wouldn't? So, you know, his jacket comes up and then, you know, they start out, $1,000. I'm like, yeah, we're fucking, all right. And then it gets up there, right? Like to like maybe like $5,000 or some stupid thing. And then I'm pretty sure I had the last say. Mm-hmm. You know, because I was like, hey, all right. And then, you know, and then he bids on his own shit. He ups it by like a few $1,000s. I was like, what the fuck, dude? Like,
can't I should have. Shit?
Yeah, exactly. So I was thinking, like, and he's like, and I can hear him, like, come on, Mouse, come on. And I'm like, this one's pretty much on you now.
Don't hassle the mouse.
You know, and he did. And I had to do it because I was just like totally pressured into it. But I got it.
You got the jacket.
I got the jacket. I got the fucking jacket. It's in my basement. It's pretty rad.
Well, you're talking to the guy who's the owner of Captain Steubing's jacket from the Love Boat.
So really?
I feel like we're in a kind of elite fraternity.
You didn't go for the life preserver?
I wasn't. This was purchased for me by a fan and given to me, but it is Steubing. So you got Hasselhoff's. You got this. You got the jacket from the beach, but I have the jacket from the sea.
Whatever.
If you say something with enough conviction, it'll sound
important. Yeah, right. Sound important. Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Oh, yeah. I already got an offer, by the way. Someone has offered to...
The auction house has reached out.
For your jacket?
Yeah.
I can't be bought at least at double.
Not cheap.
We want to go quad. We can talk about
it. Yeah, it's at double right now.
All right. Let's take a break. Deadmau5, you hang with us. We'll come back and do the news right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gino Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden. Kamala. Meet news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gino Grad.
Well, we already talked about the death of beloved Bob Saget, so let's talk about this guy. Robert Durst, he died in custody early Monday morning, according to his lawyer. He was 78, sentenced to life in prison in October of... What?
Too soon.
Yes, absolutely. For the first degree murder of his friend, Susan Berman, who was shot and killed in 2000 in her L.A. home. But that's not all. Durst was charged with murder of his wife, Kathy, who disappeared in 1982, body never found. And then... charged with killing his neighbor in Galveston, Texas, acquitted of that one, though. His
that
lawyer
one,
says,
that one he admitted to. Like, yeah, he's like, and that oh, one I killed that guy.
What was the doc that chronicled all this?
The jinx.
the
yeah,
jinx.
He said that one was self-defense. His lawyer says Durst died due to natural causes. He was on a ventilator due to COVID, and I'm not sure who he'll be missed by.
Nobody. There's too many human beings in my head now. Like, I was listening to the news on the way, and Durst died, and I was like, was that? Wait, and I'm starting to think about Whitey Bulger. Or Whitey,
that's right.
It was caught. Like, and I was like, there's too many infamous people. There's too many famous people. There's just too many. When I was growing up, all I had to do is Dillinger and Captain Kangaroo. Those were the only two names I had to know.
Al Capone on a stretch.
Yeah, there wasn't so many famous people. Like, we have so many famous people that a famous person dies every day. Mm-hmm.
That's
sometimes
true.
More than one.
Yeah, too many, I would say.
Where do we draw the line, though?
Well, I think we draw the line at fame when somebody says the name minus the action or the profession.
Right.
So if they just go, if you say Betty White died, but you wouldn't go actress Betty White died. You
got it.
Because we got it. But there are other people where we need the profession in front of it.
And then they're like, okay, I may have heard of that.
Right.
Got it.
Right.
Said Robert Durst, people like, I don't know who that is. Like, the guy, the two-part documentary, he killed it. Oh, yeah, that guy.
Right.
Fred Durst?
Right.
Speaking of documentaries, I watched one that you'll be shocked by that I'd never heard of the guy. I didn't know anything about this, but I'm sure you guys do. Doc Ellis.
Oh, yeah. Living under a bridge.
I was flipping through, you know, the documentaries, and I was like, this looks interesting. And he pitches games on LSD.
Oh,
and
different. I'm on Doc.
Doc Ellis was the famous pitcher.
Yeah, I know who Doc Ellis is. I was on Doc, pitcher from the Mets.
Doc Gooden?
Doc Gooden. Mm. Yeah, sorry. They're both equally interesting, but Doc Ellis, interesting.
Yeah, didn't know anything about him. And it was a testament to you when you say, you know, it doesn't matter what the documentary is about. It will be interesting. This was. So in that spirit, I challenge you, Adam, to watch the one about the casting of the Chorus Line revival on Broadway, because it's great.
He's already seen it.
Done and done.
All right, well, yeah.
Doc Ellis set the drug movement back a long time because it's high on LSD and then pitches a no-hitter.
Yeah, evils of LSD. It took a hit that day.
Is this the boomer segment?
No, he admitted it. I mean, he did it.
Yeah, he did it. Although, I don't know. Was he rolling?
Yeah, had
he
done it the night before?
Yeah, I don't know all the official particulars. Yeah. But anyway.
Well, let's talk about the Golden Globe winner since nobody else is. Oh, it wasn't televised.
Forgot
it was
happened.
Tweeted in a hotel room. Mm-hmm. The winners were tweeted, so I'll give you a couple of the standouts. Best Motion Picture Drama. Brian, I don't know if you're familiar. I'm not. The Power of the Dog.
Saw it.
Any good?
I'm excited for a lot of confused old people to be like, oh, Western. Oh, let me watch this. It is not what you are expecting. It is an artsy Western by Jane Campion, who did The Piano. Like, it's not the Western you're thinking of with Clint Eastwood. It's good, but it is not going to satisfy a lot of people.
What's it on?
Netflix, starring Benedict Cumberbatch and Jesse Plemons.
Mm. Oh.
It's good, but it's not what people are expecting.
Best Musical or Comedy, of course, West Side Story. Best Performance by an Actor in a Motion Picture, Will Smith for King Richard. Best Performance,
pretty good.
Yeah, Best Performance by an Actress in a Drama, Nicole Kidman in Being the Ricardos. Watched that the other day. The voice she had down perfectly as Lucille Ball. Very, very impressed.
Is that a good show? A good movie?
Mediocre.
Hard to say.
Mediocre.
Yeah, I watched that and Eyes of Tammy Faye on the same day. And Jessica Chastain blew my dick off.
Much better.
So I highly recommend that one.
Mm.
Jessica Chastain as Tammy Faye Baker was incredible.
Being the Ricardos is an Aaron Sorkin movie. So you can imagine lots of dry, long scenes of dialogue.
Yes.
Which is what it is.
Yeah.
It's good. It's fine. It's good. But J.K. Simmons as William Frawley for me steals the show.
He was good.
As Fred Mertz.
Can we get back to award shows? I kind of miss them. I never thought I'd say that, but
I
miss what Ricky Gervais would host.
Sure. Yeah.
Everyone would get drunk.
Golden Globes the party.
It was fun.
Well, and I listened to a news podcast about this because I figured we'd talk about it. And it's it's so many things that went wrong with the Golden Globes. The Hollywood Foreign Press is nobody knows who they are. It's less than 100 people. It's hard to figure out why and how they'll let you in. One of their biggest scandals was giving Pia Zadora back in the day the award, I think it was for best actress in a movie that hadn't come out, and the movie bombed. It was fucking dog shit. So they realized that that guy had been bought off and gotten, you know, hotel rooms in Vegas.
He had like a rich shipping magnate, like Greek husband, yes, who bought everything off.
Right.
Okay, I get it. You scratch beneath the surface and everything's a shit show. But I just want to turn on the TV and see some pomp and circumstance, you know? I think we've decided culturally that it's sort of ugly to show off, you know, red carpets, tuxedos, gowns, with all that's going on.
Champagne on every table.
Right. I think it's a weird optic thing where literally celebration is considered a sort of, well, certainly in the era of COVID.
Yeah, but getting together like that.
But even beyond that, just the general zeitgeist of the haves and the have-nots, and look at these pampered celebrities out. I think it's right up there with, again, I grew up and rich celebrities were giving you tours of their home. There's no more rich celebrity home tours because these people would be destroyed. You know, there's people in Africa that don't have a pot to piss in and you have 11 bathrooms.
Because someone's going to find a tweet of yours from 5 years ago saying, you know, so-and-so, this billionaire, or, you know, this person should have given more. It's like, oh, what about you?
Right. Yeah. I think in general, in a weird way, the celebration part maybe dead. Any Grammy stories?
Jeez.
How many Grammys did you go to?
Two.
Yeah. Oh, I went to a Grammy.
I went to two. I just kind of lost interest in it. I really have a what's the opposite of a penchant?
Aversion?
First, like kind of celebrity culture. You know, the whole hoopla, you know, and all this like fanfare around like the most banal things that humans do.
you had a great time.
I had a great time.
Where was the Grammys?
I don't even know. The one is like the Staples Center or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's nice. Maybe. But yeah, back in the day when we
Bitcoin
could do that shit.
Arena or something.
Yeah.
Crypto. It was always at Staples because I had to do radio.
Wait, it's not Staples anymore?
No.
It's crypto.com.
Get out of here.
I'm not lying.
Mine was at the Shrine.
Oh,
yeah. That too.
Before Staples was built, probably.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
In the last 10 years,
or
I think.
Right around that time, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was something to do, and I was already there, but I guess the way that it works
is
that
the Shrine?
You have to pay. Yeah, I was living in the dumpster in the alley. And they, you have to pay to go, even
what?
If you're nominated. Yeah. That's how they get you. And
really?
Yeah, it was really crazy. I mean, I was like,
usually the label or like someone will pay, you know.
No.
How much was it?
Yeah. It would have been neat. So I just thought it would be a really funny opportunity to, like, you know, print my friend's phone number on my shirt and then do the red carpet.
That's fun.
And that was fun. That was my takeaway. And that was fun. It was a good time. And then I'm like, you know what? Like, would I do this every year? Probably not.
So pay to go, like the Hollywood Walk of Fame, you have to pay to get your star.
Do you too?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because it goes to the city, like the
restoration
committee.
I guess, but I never heard of pay to go. I didn't know that was true with the Grammys.
Oh.
I wonder how much it is.
It's like $6,000.
That's a lot.
Wow.
I have a friend who's a Grammy nominee, and he produced a Beats, Rhymes, and Life, the Tribe Called Quest documentary, got nominated for a Grammy eight years ago, still gets invitations to go every year, and he goes half the time. It costs, you know, $500 a ticket or whatever, but it's like, hey, come to the Grammys. Here's how much it costs.
Well, especially if you're not even I live like near Toronto, so I gotta pay for a flight down there too, and then a hotel, and then this and
that.
Yeah, it's like a big operation. I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, I won't even drive 3 hours north to go camping, and you want me to go like to LA and wear a suit?
Well, but you got a lot of range when it comes to the gumball rally.
Yeah.
So your dichotomy.
Well, transportation's covered.
All right, sorry, Gina.
Well, we've talked about dogs sniffing out all kinds of things. And now it has a little more legitimacy, at least if you're in the Black Keys or Metallica or Tool, because COVID sniffing dogs are a thing now and they're being used backstage at these shows. So Live for Live Music reports that in effort to prevent the virus from postponing and canceling shows, the bands I just mentioned have recruited biodetection canines to screen performers and crew members and production staff as an extra layer of precaution. Biodetection canine president Jerry Johnson, he's an Air Force veteran who worked with dog teams while deployed in Iraq and Afghanistan in the 2000s. He told Rolling Stone that the company has 12 dogs in service. They're training more now. And he says it is done within 98 to 99% accuracy in double-blind validation studies. And since they can test up to 200 people an hour, it's cheap. It's much cheaper than traditional testing. While the dogs have previously sniffed hands and feet, with Omicron, because it's just so contagious, as I can attest to, they sniff masks. And they can tell you right then and there.
Oh, you just pop the mask, give a sniff. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've always been talking about this. I had my venereal sniffing dogs that could be used at parties. I had my cancer sniffing dogs. Well, come on, right. Let's be
honest.
How do they
do that though? Like, so surely the dog has to know what COVID smells like, right? So do they expose the dog to?
They get
like
them addicted to COVID.
Yeah.
Well, remember,
does a dog get it?
No, we were talking about dogs getting it like idiots like a year and a half ago. Remember, there's that little scare. Dogs, yep. Pets,
yeah, first
getting
canine
it.
Case, yeah.
God damn, are we dumb. Like, we just had to come out with everything all at once. So anyway, here's everything has a smell. That's, you know, you think, well, coffee and red wine or something, but everything has a smell. Dogs can tell. And then all you have to do, and I don't even think there's a breed of dog that's better than the next. They have to be enthusiastic. And then they train them on that smell. And then they reward them when they find it. And that's how you get the gunpowder and the cocaine and the backyard fruit and the salami and all the cash sniffing dogs. You get all the different sniffing dogs.
That's it. You've brought up the breed doesn't matter. It's more about the enthusiasm. I wonder if police and law enforcement tend towards German Shepherds simply for the intimidation factor. Because what if a Schnauzer is the best smelling dog? You know what I mean?
Yeah, nobody's afraid of a beagle.
Yeah, yeah, precisely. A bloodhound. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, the canine units obviously have the German Shepherds because they got enforced.
They're athletic and they can, yeah.
The ones attack. At the airport, I feel like, that are looking for stuff, they just seem to be all different breeds.
Rescues.
Yeah. Look, I feel the same way about employees, which is I don't give a fuck what your breed is. I want a dog that hunts. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's what they get. They get the enthusiastic dogs. That being said, a white lab would be preferable.
Yeah, nice, yeah.
You know, but if we're Chihuahua,
an Alaskan,
you know
what I'm saying?
Beggars can't be choosers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know if you've seen this video. Today it has been around and it is crazy. Officers in California saved this pilot who crashed onto railroad tracks seconds before the train just obliterated.
Was this like directed
helicopter.
By Michael Bay?
Seriously, and I'm going to show it to you in a second. People.com reports that on Sunday, the Cessna 172 made an emergency landing around 2 p.m. After it had taken off from an airport in Pacoima, for you locals out here. Two officers from the LAPD can be seen on body camera footage pulling this, and wait for it, don't show it yet, this bloodied pilot to safety moments before the train collides with this aircraft. The pilot was the only one on board and was transported to the hospital, unknown condition. The FAA and the NTSB are investigating. Now, the first 11 seconds have no audio, and then it kicks in, but very worth playing the whole, like, 20 seconds. Here we go.
So it's an elderly guy.
Where is this? Sorry.
It's out
in
here.
LA.
It's
in LA.
What?
It's on the train tracks.
When?
Pacoima, I think it's White.
Oh, wow.
Airport.
That guy's messed up.
Oh my shit.
These guys are heroes.
LeBron tweeted that if it was a black pilot, they would have left him in there.
That sounds hard to believe.
Well, that's what LeBron says.
That was like 4.5 seconds. Well, did they say how long it was, or can you tell?
It was about four seconds.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Because there was no audio for 11 seconds.
You know what I mean? Between the time they got him out. And the
that's
time
what I'm saying.
My question herein lies where railway technology is at, that it didn't know.
They couldn't radio it in.
That like, wasn't a plane. Cause
60 seconds early.
Yeah, a minute, maybe 2 minutes while that thing kind of skidded onto there. And in the middle of an intersection, it looked like, too. So they probably have some kind of control.
Yeah, yeah, there's something about trains where once they get started, they don't stop until they hit a building.
There's a good movie called Unstoppable about the runaway train.
That's right.
Like 10 years ago.
Then a movie called Runaway Train.
Yes, there
and
is.
Then,
John Voight.
Silver Streak.
Silver Streak.
Silver Streak. They end up driving the train right through the train station. Like, evidently, they don't stop. But yet, they have a magical cord that travels through every compartment where if you pull on it, it will stop.
It's like the oh shit handle in a car.
Yeah.
It doesn't really serve a function.
Somebody, you're right. Like, the plane landed. The cops weren't at the intersection when they had to roll up on it. They had to get the guy out. I mean, they had to have 2 minutes at least to go to the train. Hey, man.
You'd
or like
think.
A sensor or something. Like, stop the train.
I don't know if you care, but there's a plane.
Yeah. That's know, what the that would be the message.
Yeah. You're trying to sell us something.
No. I would also argue, while I love that big air horn, a crashed plane is not going to fly away. Mm-hmm. You know, no
right.
reason to tap the horn. You know what I mean? When there's a stall... pickup truck and they got the illegals in the bed, definitely ride that horn, but don't just honk it. That's just pomp and circumstance at that point. The plane is destroyed. It's not flight worthy. There's no way it's going to move itself.
The horn's just showmanship.
Yeah, that's right. Nice. Just showing off. Mm-hmm.
Well, you mentioned LeBron and got to tell you, there's some more auction stuff coming up. The first one I want to talk about, two Kobe Bryant and LeBron James game-used jerseys just hit the auction block, and they're expected to bring in over $100,000 apiece. What makes them so special? Well, the white Bryant one is ultra rare. It's a Noche Latina Lakers jersey that he wore when they played against the Bulls back in 2013. They had the Los Lakers night, so this was sort of the Latin-themed night, and he signed the shirt. He signed the jersey inside the two. LeBron's jersey doesn't have an autograph, but it makes it unique because it was a uniform he wore several times during his first season as a Laker. Both pieces now up for auction. TMZ says the Bryant jersey may go for $125. James could go for $150. And I'll keep you posted because those close next month.
Yeah, all the memorabilia is going crazy. Nobody
but wait,
wants
there's
to put
more.
Money in the bank. Yeah.
Michael Caine is offloading a couple of things. He's decided to put many of his personal items and movie memorabilia up for auction. He has items that, like his Rolex.
Oscars?
Oscars?
No. That's just for show.
Rolex, around $16,000, paintings from his collection. Let's see. According to UK Times newspaper, he says he's reluctantly selling off many of his beloved items as he and his wife Shakira downsize from their mansion in southeast England.
The dead mouse is making a face because I think we see the same thing.
We're thinking the same thing.
Which is, I'm sure he's a nice guy. I can't think of any actor I'd be less interested in their stuff than Michael Caine.
Reluctantly.
You don't want his signature glasses?
Yeah.
Oh, reluctantly.
That looks like Charles Nelson Reilly's glasses, number one.
I mean, I hate to do this.
Where were all these collectors when Deadmau5 was selling his 458, man?
Yeah, right?
You know what I mean?
Are those from Kingsman?
Should have just held on to it.
Yeah. There's a thing going on. You hear about Bruce Springsteen put his catalog up. I think John Legend put his catalog up. Like, I think there's a...
Are you talking about rights?
Yeah.
Yeah, Maersk is buying it
I think
all,
everyone,
apparently.
Everyone's just going... I think this is a new thing, because this is a... I think it's a lot of atheists in our group who just go, fuck it, I'm cashing in now. And then someone goes, what about your kids? Yeah, fuck them. I'll take the money now. Like, there's a lot of, like, I want to... I just hear more and more stories of people selling catalogs and selling rights and selling memorabilia and just going, I was going to give this shit to my kids, but fuck it.
Do they know something we don't know?
I think it's the pandemic fire sale. I've seen it too in all the music community and industry and stuff like that. Of people like just basically literally putting together these 5-year plans to get their rights back from the majors or whatever they need to do to buy in or buy back their shit. And then pawn it off to like the weirdest shit, like a shipping company.
This doesn't,
or just anyone with
this
money.
This doesn't bode well for my theory. So I have a theory.
All right.
I don't want to ruin your day.
Great.
But I was thinking of Richard Branson and Bezos and Elon Musk. Like, why such a hurry to get off the planet?
But they came back.
I know.
Yeah, so but
eventually, eventually, just like my dad with that pack of cigarettes, they're never coming back.
Okay. Is it going to upset you that I'm thinking about doing something in 2023 that involves like kind of sort of leaving the planet?
It's going to bolster my thought worldview.
And they're doing passenger. They're basically weather balloons attached to giant pods. It's worldview.com. And then you go up. They're testing now. And I think the first commercially available flights will be in like 2023. They're booking reservations and all that stuff. So
with the idea that you'd live up there for a little bit?
No. Just hang out. Okay. Just hang out. Okay. You know. And so me and another musician, Kaizo, were really kicking around the idea of going up there and doing the first recording in
space.
So we go up there, we hang out. It's a big enough like kind of pod that we can bring some computer equipment and her acoustic guitar or whatever, and then we can like jam out up there.
Any of this shit on the internet? Because I'm gonna
This is breaking, Adam. I'm giving you this one.
Oh, this is breaking.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's in we're talking about it.
Well,
but it's really cool idea, I think. But I have to come back as well.
So we'll come back and to Earth or come back to the show?
Yeah, come back to Earth after the thing. But so that's leading to your theory.
My theory is that the richest, most well plugged in, connected, believe me, these guys know what's going on in the world. They got some info out of China or Russia. I don't know what they got, but it's a race to get the fuck off the planet. Now, just like that movie with Kuzak.
2012.
Yeah. Ark. The Ark.
They're buying an Ark. You have to buy space on the Ark. Okay? So Elon is building a space station because this whole shit show is going down, man. It's all going down in the next few years. Bruce Springsteen and all these other guys are liquidating everything to get a space on the Ark.
That's right.
What do they need all this cash for all of a sudden? You got the richest guys on the planet. They're going up. They're going down. They're experimenting. They're talking about colonizing these different planets and building space stations.
Elysium.
And the rich guys are all cashing in now to buy themselves a space on the Ark. We're all going to be left behind. And even Deadmau5.
I hope so.
I think Deadmau5 can be with us.
Well, you got to remember, like, if 90% of the population fights and somehow makes it off this fucking planet, I'd be part of the happy 10% that's like, chill. Yeah, you know,
relax.
We don't have to deal with that shit.
I've said that so many times. I'm team meteor. I want to be taken out by the meteor in one shot. I don't want to have to worry about getting off the planet. I'm with you.
Yeah.
I saw Don't Look Up. Just let me have dinner and go peace.
This may be a Chinese meteor. Either way.
Oh, there it is.
They're all cashing in to buy. Who was just selling all this stuff? Donna?
Springsteen?
No.
Okay. Michael Caine.
Michael Caine.
Michael Caine. He wants off too. Sorry. We got this?
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's the thing.
Look how futuristic those renderings are.
Floating pod.
Not bad.
Damn.
Goes up 80,000 feet or what?
It's actually just for my own satisfaction to see the curved earth.
Good for you.
Parachutes down.
Prove it's actually around.
Mm-hmm.
But it will be debunked very quickly by it's the lens, it's the glass.
I got you. Yeah. It's the distortion of the air.
We're talking about Elephant Show.
Flat Earth.
So what do you go up to? 80,000?
I think 100.
100. Yeah. Wow. Sweet.
Is that actually space? I think it's still stratosphere at that point.
I don't know. At 100.
Look, higher than us.
Higher than
yeah, don't open things. The door is all I got to say. All right, Gina, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
The moral is everybody farts.
Gina Grad!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Now, listen. We were talking about your dogs that sniffed out COVID. I was called a heretic for saying dogs could sniff out cancer 20-some-odd years ago. Although, my crazy theories. You wait till Elon and all those guys take off with the boss sitting on their lap and never come back.
Send apologies to Adam Carolla.
Why are we delegating all these responsibilities onto like two or three people in the world? Can we just
spread it around?
Maybe nurture new talent? I'm getting kind of tired of Daddy Elon having to save the world.
Well, it's an elitist group because they only want the guys with the big brains up there. or the guys who can entertain them with their music.
Right, that's right.
That's
or
true.
Comedy.
All right. Let me tell you about Geico. Do you own, you rent your home? Well, you do one or the other, and you work hard. And that's why Geico's made it easy to bundle your policies. You go to geico.com and bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your automotive policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your house. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save when you get your bundle working at Geico. That is at geico.com. All right. I'm going to be, speaking of space, I'll be at the Bray Improv February 6th with William Shatner. Fresh off his moonshot. Dennis
Rock
Quaid.
It, man.
Yeah, he's coming there as well. We'll do a couple of shows there. And go to adamcarolla.com for all the live shows. Deadmau5, you can check out the website, deadmau5.com. is where you go. Stephanie Motto, fartjarsnft.com, as if there wasn't another reason to leave the planet. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Gina Grad, Paul Bryan, and Deadmau5 and Stephanie Motto saying mahalo.
Good for you.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Remember, you can watch this podcast at youtube.com/Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Catch Gina Grad on the podcast Easy Listening. Paul Bryan on the film. Paul, get your tickets to see the Ace Man Truth Yeller at the Bray Improv. Get them now at adamcarolla.com.
Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now. Save big money at
Menards. Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.